Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now joining us on Thursday night tailgate is former Bucs linebacker Chris Washington. Let me give you some background on Chris. He is from Jackson, Mississippi. Played his college ball at Iowa State, where he was a four-year letterman. In 1981, he was awarded the Dury Moss Award for being the most outstanding newcomer. In 82, he won the school's Alfred Ullman Award for being the junior who displayed leadership and academic excellence. 83, he was recognized as the team's most outstanding defensive player. He set the school record for most tackles in a season with 168 and in a career with 457. Led the team in tackles three straight seasons from 1981 to 1983. He was inducted into the Cyclones Hall of Fame in 2009. He was a sixth-round draft pick in 1984 by the Tampa Bay Bucs, and he played in the league from 84 to 1990 with the Bucs, 49ers, and Cardinals, and we're excited to have him with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing? Thanks for having me. How's everything going?
Very good. Thank you, Chris. So, Chris, I want to start off by going back to your time at Iowa State. Prior to you getting there, I was looking back at the rivalry between Iowa and Iowa State. It was pretty one-sided. Yeah. Iowa had won 18 of the previous 24 meetings, 8 of the last 10. But you helped Iowa State win 3 in a row from 80 to 82. What do you remember about being a part of that big rivalry?
The coach that I had, Coach Corey, he was our defensive coordinator, and he was a linebacker coach at that time. He was just very thorough, and we happened to have a good group of players at that time, and everyone did their job. We played well against them, and if we didn't win any other game, if we lost every other game, that's fine as long as we beat Iowa. That was our motto.
Bob, questions for Chris?
Chris, I want to talk about your introduction to the NFL in 84, that very first training camp, John McKay, the coach. I didn't realize Wayne Fonts was the defensive coordinator.
Yes.
Take me back to those memories when you first arrived there and what that first training camp was like.
Well, the first camp, I realized right away after the first couple of days that the head coach was not really – He wasn't really involved in everything that was going on. He gave it to his assistant coaches to run. He just wasn't too involved in what was going on. And as I said, no one took us seriously. So it was hard to keep the spirits up with the team. But we had good young players. Hugh Green, I got a chance to play with Hugh Green and Leroy Selman. So I learned from a lot of guys, and it was just the youth of the team. We just didn't have, we just weren't consistent enough. That's the main thing in the NFL, being consistent, and we didn't have that at that time. But as you see, that has turned around as well. But it was a great place to live, and had a good time trying to get the organization to be a little more successful, but it didn't happen at that time, but it did happen later on. So.
And I wanted to ask you more about Leroy Selman, Chris, the member of the Selman brothers family there. They were all very talented, but this guy, of course, played his whole career in Tampa Bay, was out of football by the time he was 30, but had done enough to earn Hall of Fame status. Tell us more about this guy, what type of player and what kind of teammate he was.
Leroy was a great leader. He wasn't trying to intimidate anyone. He was the quietest guy. You wouldn't even know he would be there, but when we put on our uniforms and went on the field on Sundays, he was a totally different person. And he was always trying to he was always trying to help the younger guys become comfortable with what we're doing. He was a great leader in the community as well as with the team. We just didn't have the consistency that we needed to be successful at that time. But he was loved in the neighborhoods throughout the league. He was well respected. great pass rusher. And I just learned a lot just watching him go through his drills and go through his assignments each day during the games, practice. I was lucky to have a chance to play with him.
Expand on a little bit of that, Chris. I'm from Pittsburgh, and I grew up a huge Hugh Green fan. And yes. Curious just to, you know, you mentioned him a moment ago. Curious to get your memories of playing alongside of Hugh.
He was a madman, but it was controllable madness. And just watching him, just watching his technique on the field, I learned a lot just watching him in the films every week. And then, unfortunately, in the fourth week, I think it was the fourth week of my rookie year, we were leaving practice, and Hugh Green had just bought a brand new Corvette. And he was driving, he was going over an overpass. He hit something, and his car went airborne. His car went airborne, and he went over into the ditch. So I got out of the car along with other players that were behind on the highway. We go down, you know, we walk over to the car. We ran to the car. We get to the car, and he has a pole going through his leg that went through his leg. I'm telling you, Hugh Green looked up at me. He laughed for a second. He said, okay, rookie, looks like you're about to get your chance to go play. And then he passed out, and then they took him to the hospital and went from there. He had a great attitude. He was a madman on the field, though. But he was a great teacher as well.
Chris, you get traded to the 49ers in 1989. The team would go on to win the Super Bowl that year. But I read you missed that year because you had a broken ankle during preseason. Did you get an opportunity to play at all that year with the 49ers?
No. I played up until that last preseason game before my own teammate, Bubba Paris, decided to lay his shoulder on my ankle and snapped it in a drill we were doing in practice. I was cleared for the Super Bowl, but I didn't dress for the Super Bowl. So it was a rewarding and disappointing season at the same time. No, I didn't get to play. I was in practices doing drills and all that, but I wasn't cleared to play. So, and it was probably a good thing. You know, I went ahead and played another year in Arizona, but things happen. So I was happy to be there and, you know, learned a lot from a lot of guys and just went on from there.
And Chris, I heard that you do karate and it helped focus your mind for football. Talk about that.
Well, my cousins and most of my family on my mother's side lived in Chicago, and we probably when I was in, it was my junior year in high school, right about the time I started playing football, we got involved in the martial arts, Aikido, Taekwondo, to be specific to the type of art it was. And I needed that because I grew up in Chicago on the south side at that time, and I wasn't a very confident kid. I was an only child, and I was always trying to protect my mother. So, you know, there's a lot of crap I took because of that. But then as time went on, taking the martial arts, it gave me confidence. My flexibility saved me from many other injuries that I could have had. I mean, I had 23 surgeries over my career, but it would probably been a lot more than that. Well, I wouldn't have made it to that point if I didn't have the flexibility and the confidence that it gave me, because I knew at that point I could beat the crap out of somebody, but I don't have to prove that to anyone. That was the mentality I developed, and it helped me when I got on the field with football, because I'd never played football before in my life. I played basketball. I was going to be a pro professional basketball player, but I ended up playing football after being called, after it was suggested by one of our coaches, our head coach, J.W. Smith. Every day he would bring the football, bring the pads, and sit them at the end of the court. He did it every day for months. And then I finally came out and I started playing, and it was the best decision I ever made, because it taught me a lot. It helped me start to communicate because I'm a quiet guy. So it helped me quite a bit. And it was best decision I ever made. I loved it.
Chris, we had mentioned earlier in the show about you being recognized for your academic excellence in the past also. And I'm sure there's probably times, Chris, over your career and even at this point where you're able to reach out to young kids and talk to them about education. Tell us what you would tell these people.
I'll tell you what I do tell them. I get them, if I can get a student to believe in himself, and that's more than half the battle right there. But just getting them to believe they can accomplish anything. And with the technology and everything that started coming about as we got older and my generation, that was the reality of it. You could do anything. And I have formed a Youth Inspiration Goal Foundation program that worked with students on goal setting, self-esteem, and just getting them to believe in themselves. And I found that was something I enjoyed doing. I loved doing that. I worked in the Bay Area at several different high schools doing that. And it was the best thing I could have ever done, because when I retired from the NFL, I was sort of depressed. I was very, very angry at everything and everyone, because I just had that mentality. Working with high school students was medicine for me. It helped me to heal as well as to give back to the community. So I loved it, and I still do it here and there, not as much as I did before, but it taught me a lot. And I worked with a lot of students, and I loved every minute of it.
And that was my follow-up, Chris, how tough it was to be out of the NFL before you even hit 30. It's something you were doing for a long time, and all of a sudden the transition is always tough for many guys we've talked to, and I guess you've hinted it was very tough for yourself.
Well, it was tough because I didn't prepare myself. You know, you're that cocky football player. You think, oh, I can do anything. I don't need to. I can put it off. It's never going to end until it does. And then you're not prepared for that. And I was lucky enough to have a former player, Michael Green. He played with the Green Bay Packers. I met him with the alumni chapter in San Diego or in the Bay Area. And he took me to the side and said, have you talked to them about the benefits? Do you know about the benefits you have? Have you thought about going back to school? And he was in my ear all the time. And he was one of the people that helped me get my crap together. I went back to school. I went back to school and got my bachelor's and got my master's in psychology. And I was working on my doctorate in San Diego. So I finally got myself back on track and realized that it's never too late to finish your education, because it's definitely going to be around much longer than your abilities to play professional sports well. So.
And Chris, a couple more before we let you go. And you mentioned the struggles to give away tickets to those Bucks games back in the early part of the 80s. You were there from 84 to 88, five seasons. Over that time, the team won 19 games. You went through three head coaches. You know, what was it like? I mean, was it a losing cultures kind of situation? Was it a talent issue? Was it an issue with the coaches just not being able to reach the players? What happened that the Bucks just couldn't get it together during that period of time?
I think it was just a combination of we had talented players. We had, like I said, Hugh Green, Leroy Selman, James Wilder. We had, several players, but we just, for some reason, we couldn't take it from the practice field to the playing field at that time. And after a few years, and they started going through getting rid of that old blood, that old mentality that was keeping the players and the team down, then they started to improve. But it was just hard initially. It was just hard initially, because I think it got to everyone, because you're doing something you love. You go down the street, people are, just they give you a finger or, stuff like that. So, and back then,
really?
It just, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, because they were fans. They were fans. They were there. But some people were upset, you know, that you weren't winning and found out you're a player. And they said, we don't, you know, get out of here, you know. So it was just a negative attitude at that time. But I was happy to see when the organization, the staff changed, and with the influx of players, that the Buccaneers were able to win a Super Bowl. That was I was so happy to see that, and just lets me know, you know, just let you know that it just takes time. And well, we know about that. But if we start talking about New England, that's a whole nother thing. But yes,
right.
Yes.
And your first year, you were there the last season that John McKay was the head coach.
Yes.
What was it like playing for Coach McKay?
So I said he wasn't, and he was a great. I sat down to talk with him, but he just on the field he left everything up to his assistant coaches and coach was coach from Detroit. Can't think of his name, but he ended up going to Detroit. He was the head coach.
Wayne Font.
Forgot his name.
Wayne Font.
Wayne basically took over the team, and we just didn't have the magic to get it done. We didn't. We played well. Everyone went out and hustled, but it just wasn't our time, I guess. So, but the team was close. The team was close. The players were close. That's all we had with one another. We just needed to learn and get our heads straight, which we didn't do in time to have a successful run of things while I was there, to have a run at, you know, being in a playoff game or, you know, something else to that magnitude. So, but I learned, and like I said, I loved it. Got to meet a lot of people. Got to, you know, spend a lot of time with family, and learn that's the thing. Family was an important thing. So,
and to that end, Chris, you know another great friend of ours, and that's Gay Culverhouse, who introduced you to us. Talk about your relationship with Gay.
Yes, we met a few years ago, and we sat around because I didn't know who she was at first when she walked in, and then I introduced to her, and I started talking to her, and we just seemed to hit it off from that point on. She has helped me with a lot of information and getting even more benefits than I had available to me over the years. She's helped me quite a bit with that, and the friendship has grown over the years. So I'm just thankful that I met her, and because I didn't know, I never got to know her father too well, being the owner of the team, never got to speak to him much at all, but got to speak to his daughter, and she is a great person, great lady.
So, Chris, what are you doing now?
Right now, I'm working with I actually just moved to Arizona. I was in San Diego with working with the NFL alumni, helping the retired players mainly take advantage of their benefits, because a lot of players just won't go, just don't, or haven't on a regular basis gone out to see what benefits they have. And so we're trying to change that. As I said, when I retired, that guy, someone helped me, so I wanted to pass that along and do the same thing. So that's what I do, just working with the alumni. I haven't gotten active with the chapter here. I have a few things going on I need to take care of health-wise, and then I'm going to get busy and working with the NFL alumni players here in the Arizona area, Scottsdale, Arizona, to be specific in that area. So, just taking it easy now, and I'm realizing every day that I'm one of the older guys now. You know, when I go somewhere and it just snuck up on me again. Just not ever thinking that, oh, no, I'll be all right. I can do whatever. But, you know, it's been good. Life has been good. I have no complaints. But like I said, I just wanted to try and reach out and see what I can get involved in helping the communities out here in the Arizona area.
So, Chris, how can our listeners stay up to date with what you're doing? Is there a way for them to follow you, whether it's online or over social media?
Yeah, they can Washington.com at Washington.Thomas@gmail.com. That's my Facebook hangout, and they can see what's going on there. I'm not on there as much as I used to be, but yes, they will see any information that's going on with me and what I'm involved in will be at that website or that email. Get there.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come and be a part of the show. We hope you'll come back and do it again sometime. It's been great spending some time with you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And let's get ready for that game on Sunday. Take it easy.
There you go.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.
All right, Chris. Take care. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again sometime soon.
Okay. Thank you. Take it easy.
Good night.
Thanks, Chris. That is former Iowa State and Bucks linebacker Chris Washington, and you know, you go back and look at what he achieved, you know, particularly at Iowa State, Bob, and you know, great compliment to him from Mike Stensrud, but a guy who's in the Iowa State Hall of Fame, you know, career leader in tackles, you know, most tackles in a season, had an unbelievable career there, and then did some good things when he was with the Bucks. Unfortunately, it had to be awfully difficult. Being a member of those Bucks teams that, you know, for the most part, won two or three games for a very long time.
Yeah, that 6-10 rookie season he had under McKay, Chris, that was the best season in his regime. But you're right. I mean, very interesting guy talking about his basketball career. Didn't play football till late. And my goodness, what he accomplished in just such a short time. And like we talked about, out of football at age 28, 29, and that's the problem, Chris, for a lot of guys, and we heard it right from the horse's mouth tonight. That was pretty interesting stuff, but he's giving back, and that's what a lot of these guys continue to do. Great guy.